Hi, it's Leo Laporte, and it's time once again for Before You Buy, our review show in which everybody in the Twit Brick House gets to pick a product and review it. Of course, I picked the iPad 3 for my review, but we've got some great stuff, including this hot new camera from Sony, this Logitech mouse, and a little bit of pee. Remember, you gotta watch Before You Buy.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. Before You Buy is brought to you by Stamps.com. Buy and print official U.S. postage using your own computer and printer. Bring the post office to your desk with Stamps.com for a no-risk trial, including a $110 bonus offer. Visit Stamps.com and use the offer code Before You Buy. And by Audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, visit audiblepodcasts.com/beforeyoubuy. Hey, welcome to Before You Buy, and we've got some, really fun products this week. Starting out with this, I got to give Sony props for at least doing something a little bit different. This is, I don't know exactly how you categorize it. It's a portable computer, touch screens. You can play games on it, but you can also surf the net. It's the Sony Tablet P. We thought we'd give it to Jason Howell, our producer for TNT, and see what he thinks. Jason?
Hey, what's up? I'm Jason Howell with Twit, and I am here with the Sony Tablet P. Now, I know things look a little strange right now with this giant bezel going between my face here, so let me get rid of that. That is so much better. Anyways, don't mind that. Let's get into the specifics of the Sony Tablet P. The Sony Tablet P is on AT&T's HSPA Plus network. It has a 1 gigahertz dual-core Tegra 2 processor inside, matching 5.5-inch screens, each of those at 1024 by 480, which is kind of a unique resolution. It has a rear 5-megapixel camera, as well as a front 0.3-megapixel camera. And as you can see around the entire device, it has this very thick 1-inch bezel that is a little awkward to maneuver around. I'll get to that in a second. It has one single mono speaker on the left-hand side, and on the right-hand side here, you have a micro USB port, a volume rocker, and then, of course, the power. The software running in here is Android 3.2. It's Honeycomb, not Ice Cream Sandwich yet, though the bright side is Sony has said that this will be upgraded to Ice Cream Sandwich sometime soon. Let's take a look at the design of the Sony Tablet P. As you can see, it's very unique. It's a clamshell device, so those of you who are fans of clamshell devices might be at home here. The hinges on this device are actually nice and sturdy, but this bezel around the edges is really awkward. Right now you see the keyboard on the bottom, and even just to kind of get my fingers out to the center, if that bezel wasn't there, it would be a lot easier. And also, if you're using this for any period of time, other than maybe a couple of minutes, you're going to notice that these sharp edges start really poking into your palm, and it actually starts to hurt after a while, after a short use. So if you're using this for extended periods of time, you just kind of have to get used to this slight pain in both of the palms of your hands. And now cameras. It has a 5-megapixel camera on the back. That 5-megapixel camera is okay, it's reasonable, and the quality of the pictures is so-so. The 0.3-megapixel front-facing camera is kind of a joke. And when you take a look at the pictures, you're hard-pressed to even want to do any sort of video conferencing even with a camera that shabby. Now for the display. As you see, it's the two separate displays, and the images are actually very sharp and black. Considering that the resolution makes everything a lot smaller, things look a little more crisp. But as I said, everything seems really small. What I noticed in continuous use with this device is that the size of the icons and the text is even smaller than it would be on a phone. When you're using a tablet and the way that you use tablets, you're normally using it a little bit further from your face than maybe you are your phone. And everything's just way smaller. A lot of the built-in Google apps have been modified to fit across both of these displays, so it kind of makes it a little bit better, but you can't expect all third-party application developers to do the same. So you end up with really strange artifacts and strange use cases. For example, I'll pull up Speed Test, and it relegates it to one side of the screen, leaving all of this dead space on the other side. That's fine. That makes it usable. And sometimes you have these little arrows down here to where you can extend it across both screens, which is what you would hope. But then again, the dead center bezel really seems to get in the way. No one would want to use it like this. To illustrate that further, we'll go into the web browser, which I got to say the speed on the web browser is pretty good as far as web browsers on Android devices go. But if we go to live.twit.tv, you can see Steve Gibson on security now, and I'm pretty positive his neck isn't that long. The bezel seems to split right down the center of so many images in so many different apps. Another really good example of the oddness of this, and I don't understand how they could overlook this, is the Play Store, the Google Market. When you go to it, it's a single screen up at the top. The bottom screen is not populated at all, and there is no way to extend it across both screens, even if you wanted to. The bright side here is that it's PlayStation certified, and it actually comes with Crash Bandicoot from the PlayStation 1 built into the device, and it's a reasonable experience. You have your PlayStation controls on the bottom, your side controls on the side, and your screen up at the top. All right, now I've told you the skinny about the Sony Tablet P. Let's get into the pros of the device as I see it. Number one, it's extremely compact for a tablet. Its PlayStation certification makes it better than normal for gaming, and the displays are incredibly bright and pretty crisp. Now the bad. The thick bezel that you see around here gets in the way all the time, and I consider it a total deal breaker. All apps behave differently with the dual screen, so you never know what you're going to get. It's uncomfortable to use for even short periods of time. Really, the cons on this device are too many to list. So if you haven't guessed by now, I would recommend you not buy the Sony Tablet P. I'm Jason Howell with Twit, and you can catch my reviews of Android devices on another show I do on the Twit Network, all about Android. Check that out. Otherwise, thank you for watching my review of the Sony Tablet P.
You know, it is. It's an innovative form factor, but this bar in the middle, where of course the two screens meet, just really distorts everything, including web pages. It gives you strange images. It's props for something interesting, but I have to agree with Jason. This is a definite no buy. Moving on, in just a bit, we're going to take a look at what is perhaps the hottest camera out there right now, and it's also from Sony. Before we do that, though, let's talk a little bit about stamps.com. I don't go to the post office anymore, and I love it. Nowadays, getting to the post office is quite a challenge. First of all, they're closing post offices, and then there's the lines as everybody buys the new stamps and so forth. That's why I use stamps.com. I actually have been using stamps.com for years now, almost a decade. So what is it? Well, it's software and a website that let you buy and print official U.S. postage with your computer and your printer. You never have to leave the post office or never have to leave the desk for the post office. It brings the post office to your desk. In fact, not only do you buy and print U.S. postage, you get a USB scale so you can weigh your items. It prints out all the forms for international priority mail. You even get discounts you can't get at the post office. And best of all, once you've done all your stuff, then you call the post office and the mailman comes and picks it up. In fact, he can just pick it up on his regular route at absolutely no charge to you. I think stamps.com is a fantastic deal. I want you to try it right now. 21% off express mail, 15% off priority mail. You can mail packages bigger than 13 ounces. But the best thing to do is do the no-risk trial offer. Visit stamps.com. Before you do anything else, there's that microphone in the upper right there. Click that and then type in one word before you buy. One word, B-E-F-O-R-E-B-E-F-O-R-E-Y-O-U-B-U-Y, before you buy, B-U-Y. No spaces. And then you'll notice that special no-risk trial offer goes to $110. That's because you get the scale. You get $55 free postage. You get a month's trial of stamps.com. It is absolutely fantastic. I want you to try it. If you are an eBay seller or an Amazon seller, if you've got a small business, there's just really no better way to do your postage, to do all your mailing, to bring the post office to you. Give it a try. Stamps.com. They've got the Leo seal of approval. I am so jealous of Russell Tammany. Look at this. Russell's a real camera buff. Actually, we've got a lot of camera buffs in the office now. Tony usually gets to review the cameras, but Russell actually bought this one. This is the Sony NEX7. Sony's been getting a lot of attention for their new NEX line of cameras. Really remarkable sensors, very high quality software, yet lightweight, easy to carry. This is a big lens. He's got the fast Zeiss lens on this. But I'll tell you what, I'll let Russell do the talking. Our IT consultant, Russell Tammany, takes a look at the Sony NEX7. Russell?
Hi, I'm Russell Tammany for TWiT, and today I'm reviewing the Sony NEX7. This is a compact interchangeable lens camera with 24.7 megapixels, and it's very highly anticipated. This is actually my personal camera. I pre-ordered it all the way back in August of 2011. So this camera is priced for the body only at $1,199 and for the kit lens with the 18-55 optically stabilized lens at $1,349. Now, I did not choose the kit lens, so the lens that I actually purchased with this camera is the Zeiss 24mm f1.8 lens. This lens does not have stabilization, but it's still very fast and very clear. Let me go over the features of this camera. So it's got a 24.7 megapixel sensor, and the native ISO goes from 100 to 16,000. So because of the very large APS-C sensor, it's basically the same size of sensor that you'll get in a regular DSLR. This gives you a very high quality DSLR level picture in a very small and slim body. So while this camera is very small, it's still not a pocket-sized camera. And a lot of people online have been saying the NEX cameras can be put in a pocket. That's only true if you use their 16mm pancake lens, which still sticks out from the camera approximately an inch. So one of the very nice things about this camera is that it's extremely fast. It's got an electronic first curtain shutter. And an electronic first curtain shutter means that it can start taking the picture immediately when you press the shutter. So immediately to Sony means 20 milliseconds. One of the downsides of that is that if you're used to reviewing pictures right after you take them, or chimping as some photographers like to call it, you may look through the viewfinder, take a shot, look to the back of the camera to see the shot that you had taken, and you won't see the shot that you'd taken. You'll see the live view of the camera again. So there's an option in the menus that you can go into, change it so you can see the review, but then that causes a lot of stuttering when you're actually trying to use the camera and take pictures, because it keeps switching in both the viewfinder and the LCD. There are a lot of options in these menus. It's actually one of the things that may be a downside about this camera, is that all of the menus are rather complicated. They do give you this tri-navi control that Sony calls, and the tri-navi control dial basically gives you a right control dial, a left control dial, and then a control wheel, which also has clicking positions. It can be a little confusing, because as you move between different camera modes, it means that you have to remember, what does the left dial do, what does the right dial do, what does the wheel on the back do, what does the navigation button do. So in aperture mode, we have the aperture, the EV shifting, and then the ISO on a dial. This camera does have auto ISO, which a lot of people like to use now, but the auto ISO stops at ISO 1600. One of the things that this camera includes that the lower-end NEX series don't include is a built-in electronic OLED viewfinder. This viewfinder is integrated with the camera, so it's not a separate accessory that you have to put onto it. It's a very, very high-resolution 2.4 megapixel OLED screen. The screen in it is absolutely gorgeous. It's the best electronic viewfinder that I've looked through on any camera to date. The electronic viewfinders are always a little bit laggy behind. They have a little bit of smear to them. And in my opinion, they're not as good as looking through a full-frame camera's DSLR viewfinder. But for the mirrorless series, this is probably the best electronic viewfinder that you'll find. And the nice thing about that is they haven't skimped on the screen as well. So the screen has a 921,000-dot articulating screen. So this camera is a very good build quality. Everything that you're touching is basically metal, except for a couple of plastic backing pieces. And I see this camera as being great for any prosumer or budding professional that is getting into photography but doesn't necessarily want to make the investment in a full-size DSLR system. So the Sony NEX7 will record video at 1080p, 60 frames a second, in the AVC HD format. This is a lot faster and a lot higher quality video than you'd usually get from a typical compact camera. It has a stereo microphone as well.
It's 640 by 480, yeah.
Whoa!
Welcome to
2004.
The sound quality is just okay, but it does have a mic jack where you can use an external microphone. So the battery life in this camera is actually quite good for a mirrorless camera, especially with a large screen on it. Sony rates it for just over 400 shots, which goes down slightly if you use the electronic viewfinder a lot. So the pros for the Sony NEX7 are it has excellent DSLR-level image quality and build quality, fast startup and operation, and a great electronic viewfinder and rear screen. So the cons are that the menus are a little confusing. You may be hunting through the menus to find the option that you're looking for, and you may not be sure what the control dials are actually doing because of the mode you're in has changed. The current E-mount lens lineup for these cameras is also rather limited. You've got a couple of choices of lenses, and very few of them are high or professional quality lenses. Also, the eye detection on the camera is really a major flaw, because when you leave the camera on, you put it up to your eye, the viewfinder comes on, but this will keep the camera on even when it's around your neck and drain the battery. So you're always having to remember to turn the camera off every time you're done using it, or you'll come back to a dead camera. So all these things considered, the Sony NEX7 is really a buy. It's great for replacing a DSLR. It's great as an only camera. It's got a lot of flexibility. And the only real downside is that it may be a little bit expensive. So I'll also have some sample pictures and videos up on my website at russell.expose.com. I'm Russell Tammany from twit.tv, and this has been my review of the Sony NEX7.
That's Russell Tammany. He's our IT consultant. By the way, the best IT guy I've ever seen. This guy's a genius from Exponentia Systems. That's the name of his company. And this is, of course he said buy. He did. This is his NEX7, and I am so jealous because this is really an exciting camera. Very interesting mirrorless design from Sony. We're going to move on now and do a couple of little reviews before we get go too much farther. We've got Tony Wang. Poor Tony. Instead of getting a camera, he got this. This is the new Logitech TouchMouse M600. And then Brian Burnett's going to take a look at these headphones. Take a look at these shorties from Before You Buy.
I'm Tony for Twit, and today I'm here with the Logitech TouchMouse M600. The M600 is one of their newer mice models, and you can tell by the name that it is a touch mouse. And what it means is that there's no physical scroll wheels on the mouse itself, and you're given a touch surface just like the Magic Mouse from Apple. The design is very simple and it's very sleek, and it's got very cool edges on the side. You can see here, you know, very cool faux carbon fiber-ish design on it. It's got built-in left-click, right-click. You can scroll horizontally as well as vertically. And from what I read on their website, they really target this mouse for sort of productivity, kind of web browsing and things like that. It's definitely not a gaming mouse because I tried and it's not pretty. Out of the box, this mouse is supported for Windows 7. And just like all the other Logitech mouse, if you plug it into OS 10, it will actually work. But you don't get to use any of the special settings that you would with Magic Mouse. Pros and cons of the mouse. The Bluetooth receiver, they actually updated this. So on this mouse, this receiver will actually work with up to six other Logitech peripherals. So if you have a wireless keyboard from Logitech, you can use that with this as well. I don't know what it is about the shape of the mouse. It is just tall enough that I can't scroll comfortably on here. And I compared it with the Apple Magic Mouse, and that's actually a little bit lower in profile. And I think that's one of the reasons why Apple sort of made the Magic Mouse so flat. Buy, try, or don't buy, I would definitely say it's a try. Choosing a mouse is a very personal experience, so I would highly recommend going to your local store and trying these out, holding them in your hand, and see how they fit in your hand. I'm Tony for Twit, and this is the Logitech TouchMouse M600.
I'm Brian from Twit. I do editing here, and today I'm showing you the Jabra Sport Bluetooth headphones. These are marketed as sport headphones for working out, running, activity kind of things. They are ruggedized, which means they are tough. You can drop them. They're waterproof, sweatproof, but they can also be used as a headset for your phone or use them as headphones for your iPad or whatever Bluetooth device you might be using. So these headphones are listed at $90 on Amazon right now, and with that you get a lot of features. On the back of these headphones, on the right side, you've got volume rocker up and down, and you've got an FM feature for listening to the radio. Also, there's a play pause button for music and answering phone calls. The sound quality is decent. They're not as loud as some other headphones of this size. But if you're running with these and you have the volume turned up all the way, that might not be such a bad thing because you do want to be able to hear what's going around you at the time. These headphones have a microphone. It's directional, so if there's a lot of outside noise, the call quality can be affected by that. One thing the manual recommends is keeping your phone in an arm strap on the right side of your body because that's where the receiver is, and if you try and keep it in your pocket, the signal will cut in and out. But they don't supply an armband, so armband sold separately. Now with these headphones, they don't fit me very well, and if you wear glasses, which are relatively thick like mine, they won't fit at all. So if you're thinking about wearing sunglasses with these, or you wear glasses like me, these aren't going to fit that well. The headset does come with three different rubber fittings, so you can try and see if one works better than the other. I tried all three, and none of them seemed to help much. It was more of the design that didn't fit around my ear. So these headphones also come with an app that you can download on your Android or iOS device called Endomondo. There's a button in the app to be able to play music while keeping track of your workout. Got my basic workout here. Can set my goal, beat a friend, follow a route. All right, so the pros of these headphones are they can be paired to two devices at once. It has good call quality if you're using these headphones as a headset, as long as you're in a quiet environment. And they're relatively lightweight. If you're using these to work out, they're not going to weigh down your ears. Now for the cons. These headphones won't fit everyone. And if they don't fit snugly, they're going to fall out as soon as you start doing any exercise or anything like that. The battery life isn't that great, 3 hours if you're listening to music constantly, and it only gives you a 15-minute warning before it goes completely dead. And the last con is, if you don't have your phone on an armband on your right side of your body, you can lose the signal, it'll cut in and out, so you've really got to be careful with the placement. Buy, try, or don't buy. These are a try. It depends on the fit. If they fit you well, then these can work out to be a really good pair of headphones. This is Brian from Twit with the Jabra Sport Headphones.
There you go, Tony Wang, one of our crack editors, our first editor, I think one of our earliest employees at Twit, and one of our newest employees at Twit, Brian Burnett, who does a whole lot of things, including right now running the show. He's doing a good job. He's pushing those buttons. There he is. Here's the mouse, and here's the headphones. So Brian Burnett is going to review these Jabra headphones, great for sport, if your head's the right size. And this new mouse from Logitech, Tony Wang, will take a look. For the full reviews of both these products, make sure you visit our YouTube channel, youtube.com/twit. We're going to take a break and then come back with my review of the new iPad. I've gave you all the ins and outs, but before we do that, can I talk a little bit about audible.com? Oh, my goodness, my favorite audiobook store. I started listening to audiobooks in 2000 when I had a long commute from Petaluma, up here in Petaluma, to the Screensavers in San Francisco. I was, you know, minimum of 2 hours a day on the road, often 3 and 4 hours a day. And I'll tell you, I would have just gone crazy if I hadn't had audiobooks. It started, I actually was renting cassettes. You'd get a box of cassettes and you'd have 1 month to listen. You'd have to mail them back. When Audible.com came into my life in 2000, changed my life. You could download the audiobooks, listen to them as long as you want, take all your time. In fact, every book I've purchased since 2000, almost 500 books total, I can listen to again at any time. They become part of your library. So there's no rush to finish a book. And because you download them and you put them on your iPod or your iPhone, your Android phone, no cassettes to worry about. I used to sometimes a cassette would break and you'd be in the middle of a book and you have to send it back. Oh my goodness, Audible just changed my life. Now, 100,000 books strong. In fact, Audible is so well known, so beloved, that pretty much every bestseller that comes out on Audible at the same time as it comes out in hardcover. So you can pretty much be sure you're going to get any book that you want to read at audible.com. Here's my suggestion. Go to audible.com, browse around, find a book that you like, because you can get that book free if it's a one-credit book, and most books are, by going to audiblepodcast.com/beforeyoubuy. So find your book, The Hunger Games. It's about to come out. That's a great book to read. Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy by Jean Le Carré. What a fantastic book. Right now, let's see, what am I reading? Oh, Clash of Kings, because I'm getting ready for the return of the Game of Thrones to HBO, and I want to make sure I've finished Clash of Kings before that comes out. Now, that's a two-credit book, I should warn you. But there are a lot of choices. So what you should do, go to audible.com, browse around, pick your book, then sign up at audiblepodcast.com before you buy. audiblepodcast.com/before you buy, all one word. You'll get the first book free, first credit free. You cancel at any time. The book is yours to keep forever. And if you cancel, you won't have to pay a penny. I don't think you're going to want to cancel. I'll tell you what, even if your commute's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, there's plenty of time in the gym, cleaning house, just wandering around, walking the dog, that you can listen to audible.com. And it's a great way to get reading back into your life. That's what it did for me. audiblepodcast.com/before you buy. All right, let's clear the decks, because the hottest product this month, and probably of the year in some respects, is this. This is the new iPad. What are you going to call it? The iPad 3, the iPad third generation, the 2012 iPad? Apple just calls it the new iPad. It is absolutely awesome. I couldn't love this thing more. I'm going to get to the bottom line. You want it. What's new in the new iPad? Well, you probably already know all the specs. They've quadrupled the resolution. It's now a 3-megapixel screen. So 9.7 inches, but with 3.1 megapixels, 2048 by 1536, everything just looks fantastic. Let me show you a book, for instance. It's crisp. It's easy to read. You can zoom in on the text. I found that on both my Kindle app and my iBooks app, here's Brian Brushwood's Scam School book, I actually could make the text a little bit smaller than I usually make it because it's so crisp. It's so easy to read. You got on this, you have about 260, what is it, 260, I've got it written down right here so I get it exactly right, 264 pixels per inch. Now, that's a little less than the Galaxy Nexus or the Galaxy Note. Those are very high-resolution displays. But I don't know of any device with a screen this big that has that kind of resolution. Text is crisp. The images are super realistic. Let me show you some pictures on here. And even movies look better. Now, Apple's started putting out 1080p movies, and I have to say they do look really good. But I'm not sure they're going to look any much better than a 720p movie on a screen of this size at the distance that you'll hold this screen. Nevertheless, you've got the dots there, and the color is great. This is an IPS screen. As I turn it on the angle, you're going to see that you can view it at almost any angle, and it still looks great. This is Infinity Blade 2. We're all very excited about the new Infinity Blade Dungeons, which will be out next month. That'll really take advantage of us. But this game has been updated, as have been all the Apple apps. Look at that. Even at the side, you can see pretty well what's going on. All the Apple apps. In fact, Apple's done a really great job of updating iPhoto, GarageBand, iMovie to take advantage of the Retina display, and that's making a big difference. These programs are even better than ever. In fact, iPhoto has become a very popular program. Let me just show you real quickly how great it looks when I pull up some images here. This is the new iPhoto. Everything's very fluid. Apple has put in a new processor. This is the A5X processor. Same number of CPU cores, roughly the same CPU speed, but in order to support the high density graphics, they've put in a graphics processor that's about four times the quality. And these images are just spectacular. By the way, that's another nice feature of this. They finally put a decent camera in. The front camera is the HD cam for eyesight, VGA quality, but the back cam is 5 megapixels. Let me see. It's upside down here. It's right there. It's 5 megapixels. And they're using the same elements and lenses in the iPhone 4S. So it's very good in low light. Gives you really great color reproduction. I couldn't be happier. All these images were taken with the new camera. And I have to say, it's such a good camera. It may become my regular point-and-shoot camera. As you see, a lot of speed as we're handling these images. Everything just jumps around. You never feel any lag. Really is spectacular. There have been some complaints about the iPad heating up. And it's true that you might feel when you're doing something really CPU intensive, some warming up on the part of the screen that is right, the part of the back that is right over the A5X CPU. But I have to say that it's only about 10 degrees warmer than last generation's iPad. Certainly not too hot to touch. I never found it uncomfortable. And you would expect more heat when you have that many more transistors and that much more processing power in here. One thing I haven't heard a lot of people talk about, Apple did not put Siri in here, but they did put Siri's voice dictation capability in. And it's just fantastic. I am actually using the iPad now to do all my email. Watch. Thanks for your email, period. Sorry I couldn't respond earlier, ellipsis. I was a little bit tied up doing before you buy, period. New paragraph. Thanks for watching, ellipsis, and writing, exclamation point. The dictation is very good, and I found that, let's see, did it get it? Yep, 100%. Wow, that's pretty good. And I found that I can actually whip through my email very quickly by doing voice dictation. That is something really nice, and what it means is I don't feel the urge to carry around a keyboard as many used to with the iPad. For quick data entry, I can use the built-in on-screen keyboard. And if I want to write something longer, I can absolutely dictate it every time. I just love it. Many apps have been updated, not just all the Apple apps, but things like Flipboard, stalwarts like Flipboard, just look fantastic. So it comes, of course, with Verizon or AT&T LTE. Now, if you're outside the U.S., it won't do you any good. But inside the U.S., you'll see some real speed improvements, especially on the Verizon LTE. We're seeing it as, in some cases, as fast as Fios, 50 megabits down, 15 or 20 megabits up. Do watch out, because you might be tempted to use this more on 3G and 4G and run up your bill. It works great, and the LTE is fantastic. My recommendation, if you want to use hotspotting, is to get the Verizon LTE, because that's Verizon does support hotspotting. But if you're already grandfathered in on unlimited LTE or unlimited bandwidth from AT&T, you might want to stick with AT&T. Either way, I think you'll be very pleased with not only the speed, but just the fluidness, the feel, the quality. This is yet another wonderful product in the iPad line, the best iPad yet. Pros, it's faster, it's better looking, that great big screen. New software like iPhoto, GarageBand, and iMovie really takes advantage of the new screen and the CPU power. And dictation means you don't have to carry a keyboard. The only con is if you already have an iPad, you just might not want to spend the money for the upgrade. But I have to say, if you can sell your iPad or give it to somebody, this is a worthy upgrade. Absolutely a definite buy. I've been very pleased with the new iPad. They did a great job on this. And it is really, I think, the iPod that Apple wanted to design. From day one. There's my review of the new iPad. High recommendation. And I just, with the dictation now, I'm much more likely to use it to create content rather than just read and look at movies and things like that. Lots of great games on here. Angry Birds Space, it's a winner. Well, that concludes this edition of Before You Buy. I hope you've enjoyed the show. We want to thank all of our reviewers, Russell Tammany, our IT guy, Tony Wang, our editor, Brian Burnett, another one of our technical guys and editors. Angry Birds is calling. Who else do I have to thank? Jason Howell from TNT. Oh, of course, you. Thanks for joining us. We do this show every Thursday here at the Twit Brick House. You can stop by 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern if you'd like to watch us record live. But do download every episode. Make sure you subscribe. And, of course, don't forget, you've got to watch before you buy. Thanks, Angry Birds Calls. I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.